there. This is Lauren. I was really planning to write a full proper email update, like a word typing email update this time around, but it turns out that I guess I've been a lot busier in the past week or 2 weeks or maybe even 3 weeks than I was really anticipating, and I'm going to try to say this in the least melodramatic way as possible. I have not had the energy to write out a proper text update of how I'm doing, and so I figured that instead of trying to wait until I did, it would be better to just set aside 10, 20, hopefully not 30, hopefully more 10 or 20 minutes to do a voice post, and then even if I'm not able to write anything, you will still have a sense of how I'm doing. And I should say that even though I'm busy, I am very happy, and also even though I'm busy, I'm not busy with anything on the magnitude of, say, intense schoolwork, because it's more like a combination of moderate, adequate schoolwork. You know, there is schoolwork that I have to be doing, but then also just really random things. Like, I have to get props together for this little school play we're doing, and I had to write a speech for the Thanksgiving party, and I had to give the speech at the Thanksgiving party, and I've had to reply to a lot of Japanese people's cell phone emails, and I've had to arrange different meeting up things with different people, and I think I'm going to help a Japanese student with her report on the Great Gatsby tomorrow afternoon. And for the Thanksgiving party, I had to make hand turkeys, and basically it's all sort of stuff like this that isn't really especially not that it's not meaningful, but it isn't especially quantifiably productive or quantifiably stressful, but which all put together definitely takes up a lot of time, and so I've kind of haven't had much in the way of downtime recently, and so that's the situation that I've been in. But in addition to all of the hand turkeys and the speech writing and the Great Gatsby speech presentation helpingness, I have been doing some things that are pretty fun, mostly on the weekends, like this past weekend. The weekend that was today and the day before, and on Friday, yesterday was kind of not a whole lot happened yesterday. I taught a bunch of people English, and that was kind of tiring and vaguely productive, and I did a little bit of homework, and I took a 3-hour nap. And today was fun because I met up with my Japanese friend Eddie, and her Japanese friend, Kawamura-san, whose first name I always forget, and we watched two movies. We watched The Nightmare Before Christmas, which neither of them had seen, and which I think they enjoyed it. And then we watched a Japanese-Korean joint collaborative movie called, Love in the First Snow, or, Love the First Snow's Love. And it was a romance movie, and they told me after the movie that it was very Korean because Koreans were a lot more openly emotional than Japanese, and their movies tended to have much more optimistic endings than Japanese movies, because apparently in Japan, the quality of a movie is determined by the degree to which it makes you cry. So this one did have a happy ending, and the Korean boy and the Japanese girl kissed at the end under the first snowfall in Korea, and so it was... it wasn't too cheesy, which was nice, but of course it didn't have the sort of gritty realism that I guess one can expect in a Japanese movie, or even an indie-American movie, but that was fun. It was fun to sit and to talk with them and to spend the time watching the movies, and we made lunch, and we ate lunch, and then we ate, Haagen-Dazs green tea ice cream after lunch, which was delicious, because it's Haagen-Dazs, and that was today. And then I did a little bit of homework. And on Friday, we had the Thanksgiving party, for which I wrote and performed a speech. And otherwise, the Thanksgiving party basically consisted of us eating delicious food prepared by everybody's host families. It was a sort of potluck deal. And it was amazing food. It was really, really good. Some of it was sort of traditional Thanksgiving staples like turkey, but a lot of it was Japanese, a lot of it was sushi, but there were varieties of sushi. There were the makizushi, there was sabazushi, my favorite, and then one of the AKP students' host family's father is actually a professional sushi chef, and he kind of concocted this amazing sort of sushi salad of like all sorts of things shaped like little stars in a sort of colorful collaboration on a bed of rice, and you got a little bit of like mushroom, and you got a little bit of fish, and you got a little bit of a few other things, and it all mixed together to create something really tasty. And that was quite good. And then you had a lot of desserts. You had like little donuts that were surprisingly good, tasted a little like egg in a good way. And you had sort of chewy brownie things, and you had spiced cinnamon apples, which were so good, because I have not had anything resembling applesauce, like, ever since coming here. I haven't had anything that tastes like real apples. It all tastes like vaguely like apple candy. Like, if you eat the apple yogurt or you drink the apple juice, it all, I mean, it's very good, it's very sweet, but it doesn't taste at all like real apples. And so I really appreciated these, like, cinnamon apple dessert at the Thanksgiving party. So that was the Thanksgiving party, and then after that, I was one of the few people at the Thanksgiving party whose host parents could not make it to the party, and so when everybody else went home with their host families, I and two other people who were likewise orphaned decided that we weren't just going to go home on the subway by ourselves. We were going to make an evening of the evening, and so we and a few other people who I guess abandoned their host families went to the Shijo neighborhood in Kyoto, hoping to see a movie. Little did we know that the last movies in Kyoto evidently start playing at 8:30, even on a Friday night, so by the time we got to the theater, all the last showings had started and we couldn't buy tickets. And so we decided that, screw that, we weren't going to watch a movie, we were just going to sit by, like, the Kamogawa River, and a few of them bought beer, a few of us didn't, and we all just kind of sat down, and we spent the next 3 hours talking with one another, which ended up being really, really enjoyable, particularly considering these were AKP students I hadn't really known especially well beforehand. Like, there's a group of people who just kind of through situation and habit I end up seeing a lot, and then there's a group of people I'm completely alienated by and have no desire to get to know any better. But then there's a group of people who seem perfectly nice, but who I just haven't really had the opportunity or circumstance to get to know better. And this was, for the most part, a group of those kinds of people. And it was really nice. We just sat and we talked, and a few of them drank their beer, and the rest of us drank our water. And at one point, this really drunk Japanese guy came over and just kind of squatted and watched the foreigners talk in English and kind of waved and half-heartedly just tried to speak to us before he gave up and then walked back to wherever it was that he'd come from. But I had a good time. I really enjoyed the chance to get closer to slash learn a little bit more about slash share a moment with these AKP students. There was one of them I talked with very excitedly. We were both really excited to find out that we like the same sorts of movies. And he was sort of getting really kind of hyper and excited and very sort of, I mean, for lack of a better word, fangirly, about the deep meaning and inherent significance and the beautiful slow pacing of Paul Thomas Anderson movies. And then I was telling him that, oh, if you like Paul Thomas Anderson, you should really watch more Robert Altman, because Robert Altman influenced Paul Thomas Anderson, and if you have the patience to sit through his movies, they can be really satisfying, and they have phenomenal character work and great directing, and I find them very satisfying, and so on and so forth. But, so that was that. That was my fangirly movie moment. And then there was another person I talked with about, well, we ended up talking about a bunch of things. We talked about, like, books and stuff. We talked about other AKP students, but not in, like, a catty, gossipy way, but more just kind of in a way where we shared our perceptions and found that many of our perceptions were quite similar to one another's, which was nice. And basically, the evening went on like that, and I really ended up enjoying it. And going from that to, like, 5 hours of teaching unruly first graders English was not quite so fun. That was Saturday. But that got me money. That meant that I could go shopping at Uniqlo, the Japanese equivalent of Gap, more or less. And so I got, like, pants and a shirt. And then on Sunday, I watched my movie with my friends, and so it ended up being a pretty satisfying weekend. And I realize that I actually have a few weekends to catch the world up on, so I'll just be very brief and say that last weekend, I, on Friday, had a very good time actually getting drunk, which is the first time that's really ever happened to me, maybe second or third time I've ever actually gotten drunk. And that was very enjoyable because I was in the company of my close AKP, like, habit friends by habit, the friends that I tend to hang out with because we have enough common interests and, like, compatible schedules, and so we see each other a lot and we're pretty comfortable around one another. And that was fun. And then on Saturday, I taught unruly first graders English, and then I did something on Sunday that made me busy and feel stressed, but, I mean, I speak because I remember not having free time, which means that I must have done something on Sunday, I just can't remember what. And the weekend before, if I remember correctly, if I'm not mixing it up with another weekend, on Friday I went to a really big Halloween party. There were like 80 people there, and I hadn't really known that there would be 80 people there, and if I had known there would be 80 people there, maybe I wouldn't have gone, because, I mean, it didn't go badly or anything. It was just that the fact that there are 80 people means that you couldn't really get into a meaningful conversation with any one of them, because there are way too many of them, and the presence of the other 79 of them means that you can't really hear the one that you're talking to very well, and everyone's moving around, and basically it was a lot of being there and very little actually going on. So that was a Halloween party, but that's okay. And then the next day, I went to Shigaraki, which is a place where you can make pottery, and where they have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of tanuki statues. And tanuki are kind of like raccoons, except when they are made into statues, I don't really know the mythology behind this, but they're supposed to have really big balls. That sounds kind of crude, but that's actually the thing that you notice about them when you see them, because they're about, like, a good fifth the size of the entire statue. And I say that you notice that, but the other thing you notice is the fact that when there are statues, particularly when there are hundreds of statues all sprawled out in front of you, you also notice the fact that they have this sort of creepy, lifeless grin that sort of stares out at you, and when you get like 50 of them all together staring at you with the same creepy grin, kind of like a creepy possum grin, and they're all staring at you, and they're all statues, and of course they're not alive, but there are a lot of them, and it sort of creates a sort of eerie effect, sort of eerie, creepy effect. And so of course I got my picture taken next to a bunch of them, and so I can link you to that picture. I think I'll do that. So, that's the tanuki. But Shigaraki is a place that's famous for its pottery. This was an AKP field trip, by the way, so it was me and all the other AKP students. And we went to Shigaraki, and then we made a pot. Mine wasn't a very good pot. It was sort of like a plate, except I think it might have been convex instead of concave, so if you put things on your plate, they will slide off because it sort of slopes downward. But I tried. I tried to make a pretty plate and kind of worked. But that was a kind of fun experience. And we also went that day on the same field trip to the Miho Museum, which is a small museum in the middle of the mountains, which has an interesting collection of, like, a very tiny but interesting and varied and sort of random number of exhibitions dedicated to world art. Like, there's a tiny little room that's dedicated to East Asia, and then there's a tiny little South Asia room, and there's a tiny little Greece room, and a tiny little Europe room, and all sorts of rooms, and there are all sorts of things that you don't expect to find that are nevertheless there. And then there was a larger kind of freewheeling exhibit dedicated to, I believe, art that had been collected by a famous Japanese novelist who lived in the middle of the 20th century, and he liked to collect art, and some of it is European art, and you get things like a hand that Rodin made, like a little bronze sculpture hand that this guy bought up because he was an art collector and he was really happy to find it, and then like a few impressionist paintings by people that nobody knows, but which are nevertheless very pretty. And then, like, a whole bunch of stuff by his Japanese contemporaries who were painting at the same time as he was writing his books. And so it was a very interesting exhibit. It was really, I mean, it was, like, the sort of thing that, I mean, maybe somebody who was really, really, really into art would have been bothered by how disorganized it may have seemed. But for me, it was just, you know, kind of, like, a sort of very kind of, sort of, like, a stream of consciousness book, except instead of being a book, it was a museum art exhibit, if that makes sense, in that you get one thing, and that thing sort of makes you think of another thing, and they're not all necessarily related in anything more than the most abstract, tenuous sense, but when you walk through the exhibit and you look at everything, you're kind of continuously surprised by the variety. And then you find certain pieces that you get attached to and certain things that make you think different things. And Hilary Rosenheim, if you're listening, it was a little bit, but not nearly as satisfying, of course. But it was a little bit like our trip through the MoMA, which, for the record, was so memorable. And I remember it even now. And I remember the letter exhibit. And that is a tangent that I'm going to cut because I'm going to go back to explaining about the Miho Museum. Or maybe just about that weekend, because I think that's about all I have to say about the Miho Museum. But on Sunday, the next day, I climbed a mountain. I climbed Mount Hiei with my History of Kyoto class. And it was a mountain. It took about 2 hours to climb, maybe 2.5. I don't know if the walk was any longer or shorter than the walk up the mountain on Miyajima. It felt less strenuous, but I think it took more time, so I'm not sure what that means. Maybe the incline was less steep. And I spent most of my time walking up the mountain with an AKP student named Becca, who, for the record, was with the group of us that went to the Kamogawa River this last Friday. And she and I ended up spending most of our time talking about whether, if, no, that's not the right word to begin that sentence. We spent most of our time talking about, in the circumstance where we and all the other AKP students got stranded on the mountain, which people we would eat first and why, and basically how we would go through eating all the other AKP students according to a number of factors, according to A, how easy it might be to kill them, B, how much like meat they'd give us, C, how much of a feasible challenge they'd provide because we wouldn't want to leave any students who might be able to overcome us and or disrupt our reign of cannibalistic terror. And so that conversation basically propelled us all the way up the mountain because it was sort of fun and we didn't really have to think about how many kilometers we were hiking. And on the top of the mountain, when we all got there, we were totally surprised to find a sort of, well, I mean, we were supposed to go to like a garden park at the top of the mountain. We had gotten tickets for that and we knew that we had to go up to the garden park at the top of the mountain. But little did we know that the garden park at the top of Mount Hiei was a strange sort of like homage to French impressionistic painters, because you go up there and they have recreations of like Monet's water lily scene and all sorts of things, like stuff by Renoir, stuff by Monet, stuff by other Impressionist era French artists. And they have like little, I don't know what you call them, just kind of like outdoor replicas of the paintings themselves propped up on stands, almost like they are the real paintings on easels. Of course, they're replicas, particularly because they're outside in the full sunlight, which you wouldn't be able to do with real paintings. But it was kind of wacky. It was the last thing that I expected to find on top of Mount Hiei. I really was not expecting a sort of like slightly kitschy but also very pretty sort of impressionist imitation garden complete with fake replica paintings. And then there was like a little French cafe and they served tea and they served ice cream, and I didn't actually buy anything, but some of the people I know went and ate there. But that was fun. And I took a lot of pictures, and someday I really will upload all of these pictures, particularly when I have more time to see, like, the issue, or the prioritization of things in my head right now is first, of course, is, like, homework, and then is, like, recreation with friends, and then is writing these emails, and then is writing stuff that isn't these emails, because in theory, if not in practice, I'm supposed to be doing NaNoWriMo this month. And then, below that, is uploading photos to Facebook. And the fact that I have not uploaded any photos to Facebook yet shows just how rarely things get down to that sort of fifth rank of priority. But someday it'll happen, and I'll organize things according to theme, and you'll be able to see the different mountains I've hiked up and the views that I got at the top of each one. But that was that Sunday. So basically that was a busy weekend. And then this last weekend was busy too, even though I don't quite remember what it was that I did this last Saturday. Which doesn't, it probably means that not very much happened on Saturday, except that clearly enough did happen to make me feel very busy. Oh, I think one thing I did is I think I talked to Dad. Hi, Dad. I believe that... No, I talked to you on Sunday. I did not talk to you on Saturday. But I did talk to you on Sunday. And then I did my other Sunday things, which is why Sunday felt busy. But I realized that, oh gosh, I did just hit the 20-minute mark. Wow. Kudos to you if you're still listening. I don't know if I have all that much more to talk about. Maybe I should stop while I'm ahead. But no. No, I'm not one to stop while I'm ahead. I'm one to talk and talk and talk and talk, as anyone will know if I ever have left a message on their cell phone ever. Particularly if I left one of those cell phone messages that cut me off before I was able to finish talking because I talked for so long. I know that at least a few of the people I'm sending emails to have had that experience. Let me see. What's been happening? What's been happening? My computer keeps trying to go to sleep. I think it's trying to tell me that I've been talking for a little too long. In my Japanese class, we're going to read an article on capital punishment. I haven't read it yet. I've just looked at the vocabulary sheet, so I don't know what the article has to say about capital punishment, but that's what we're going to read. Last week, we read a story called The Golden Pin, which seems to be missing its last page because it cuts off right before the end. So we're probably going to go into class tomorrow and have a discussion about what we think the ending to The Golden Pin is going to be. And we also read an article about a photographer who takes pictures of people dying of AIDS, which was very sort of poetically, or very kind of like, it felt a lot more literary in style than any of the articles we read before, which was satisfying. But we came into class and everyone else was like, man, that was a heavy article we had to read. Like, they didn't talk about the grammar so much as the subject matter, which I guess makes sense. Meanwhile, in my Japanese class where we watch nothing but movies, we've been watching movies. We have watched 3 movies completely, and then we're watching a 4th one. We have watched Summertime Machine Blues, which is a comedy movie about time travel. We watched... We watched Om Nyoji, which is like the hokiest movie in the planet about a magician in Heian era Japan. We watched a movie whose name I always forget, but it's about the Shinsengumi, who were basically this group of basically kind of like, I don't know what you call them, mercenary police who were employed by the shogun at the end of Tokugawa-era Japan, when basically the government and politics were changing so turbulently that no one really knew who was going to win, what was going to happen. And these guys were basically on the wrong side because they were all pretty young. They were all pretty aimless, and they pretty much all got killed as the tide of history changed and people who were not in power came into power and people who had come into power were completely obliterated. And so it was that sort of, it was an age of change, an age of transition, and the Shinsengumi were on the short end of the stick. And this was a movie about a few of those Shinsengumi who died, or one of them who died and one of them who's remembering the life of the one who died. But now we're watching a movie called Always, which came out in, like, 2005. It's about, like, post-World War II Japan, and it's actually a very sort of sentimental look at the good old days, sort of equivalent in certain respects to the American 50s, where people remember, you know, children buying candy at the corner store and running around and getting their first TV and getting their first refrigerator and all that kind of thing. And I haven't seen the ending yet, so I don't know how it's going to be, but it does seem to be very kind of consciously sentimental. Like, it's not an especially complicated movie. I mean, I could be proven wrong when I do see the end, but it's fun. The cinematography is kind of neat. And that's the class where we sit around doing nothing but watch movies. There's another class where we put on a play, which would be great, except, we're Japanese students and we're not really actors for the most part, so it's a very sort of silly play that we're not really taking seriously, but we perform it on Tuesday. My part is I am a sick girl who needs a tissue. That's my part. We're all, like, people who need something. Except for the main character, who basically, it's like that trading game in the Game Boy Legend of Zelda, where you find somebody who needs something and you give it to them, and then they give you something else, and you take that to someone else who likes that, and so they give you something else, and it's like the trading game, where he basically trades a bunch of things until he ends up with a whole pile of money. He basically, in our version, he ends up winning the lottery and getting a cute girl who hands out tissues to go on a date with him. That's our ending. But I'm at the beginning. He gets a tissue, and then he gives it to me, and so I give him a bottle of soda, and he gives that to somebody else, and they give him a flower lei, and so on and so forth, until he wins the lottery and gets rich. So, that's the play class. And, well, nervous is not the right word, because this is such a non-serious thing, but I think I will be happier when the play is over and done with than I am right now, thinking about the fact that I, as honorary director, I don't know how that happened, am responsible for piecing it together for the Tuesday performance, and in my head I'm like, ah, do we have all our props? Did Katrina remember to buy a lei at the dollar store? Do we have enough tissues for the tissue girl to hand out for the whole performance, etc., etc., etc.? So, that'll be nice when that is over with. It'll be nice in general when things wind down a little bit, because, again, things have been a little kind of one after another lately, and I don't know whether it's better or worse that they're not, for the most part, stressful in of themselves. Like, I don't know whether my life would feel more meaningful if all I had to do were, like, intense academic projects that were stressful, but also very sort of taxing, and that pushed me to the peak of my ability, because these things certainly are all things that I can handle. That means that I don't feel especially productive when I get them out of the way, and yet there are so many of them that they certainly do take up a lot of time and energy, just as a sort of cumulative thing. But I can see that I'm about to hit the 27-minute mark, which is perhaps a cue that I should pause for today and leave you with this, and hope that next week or the week after that, I will have enough energy plus free time to really be able to compose a written message. It'll definitely happen at some point, I'm just not sure when. So, I hope that you have enjoyed my message, and or I hope that it's provided the sort of like life update that people who want updates would need. Tell me if there's anything that I should talk about that I haven't talked about, or any sort of mysterious gaps that need filling in, and I would be more than welcome to do that, or I'd be more than happy to do that. And I hope that everybody has a great week, and I hope that everybody had a wonderful Thanksgiving. I explained to some people today what Thanksgiving is in America. One person had thought that it was Thanks for God Day, and I explained that it wasn't so much Thanks for God as it was Thanks for Friendship and for the first dinner that the Native Americans supposedly bestowed upon our British forefathers. And I do hope, yes, that everyone had a wonderful Thanksgiving. I had a very good Thanksgiving on the banks of the Kamogawa, talking with people about Robert Altman movies and other things. So, happy almost end of November, soon to be December. By the way, the Japanese wasted no time in setting up their Christmas decorations. They went up on November 1st. Basically, there were Halloween decorations up on Halloween, and then the next day I went to the Kyoto station, and there were wreaths, and there were sparkly lights, and it's apparently already Christmas. So, that's Japan for you. I guess the fact that you don't have Thanksgiving as a buffer season just means that the Christmas season can begin even earlier than it does in America, where I believe everyone still thinks it starts too early anyway. So, Merry Christmas! That's really random. Okay, I hope that everyone's doing well. I will talk/write to you soon. I will send emails to the people I said that I would send emails to. Not sure when, but soon. Very soon. And I wish you well. Have a good week. Okay, bye.